From the Stereo Sound Records Studios, your home for the best in unsigned and indie punk, rock, and metal. This is The Mosh Pit with your host, Wes Everett.
Devil's Envy, The Ghost.
Welcome to the Mosh Pit. I'm your host, Wes Everett. I am here with my man, Mr. James Kennedy of The Underdogs.
That's right, man. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm okay, man. I'm okay. You know, enjoying the South Walian hailstorm as we speak.
Lovely, lovely. I hope you're safe over there. I hope everything's, you know, not too crazy.
It's okay, man. Yeah, no, nothing ever gets too crazy over here. It's Britain, after all. We're too polite.
There you go. There you go. Well, man, let's jump right into this. When did you guys become the band? When did y'all start? I want to know a little backstory about you guys.
Well, it's a weird one, man, because like I was in a band for years called Kaishira. We did three albums and did the whole, you know, tour in the UK in a transit van, and we got around Europe. Do you know the band Snot? Were big in the 90s. They had that awesome album Get Some. Oh dude, it was a killer album. They were big in the 90s, and unfortunately their singer died after like the first album came out, and then so they sort of like didn't go any further, but they did their 20th anniversary like European tour 2015, and we supported them, and that was insane. So we did like 10 countries around Europe, playing big open stage beach gigs and stuff in Italy and south of France and all that good stuff. But then we broke up not long after we got back. So, I mean, we did that whole thing, you know, the transit fan level. We went to Canada a few times as well and stayed in hostels and, you know, did the whole independent struggling band thing and, you know, got around three albums, a load of good press and all that sort of stuff. And then, imploded like many bands do. And then I kind of just, I was in kind of like no man's land for a few years. I always did solo releases alongside the band, but they were always sort of like styles that were very different to the band. The band was quite progressive, alt rock, experimental almost, or quite proggy. So the solo stuff I did was always like kind of acoustic stuff or more song-based stuff or experimental electronic stuff. Stuff that was like, you know, it wasn't going to go anywhere. I never promoted it. It was just outside of the band, you know, just like to exercise that other muscle. So when the band ended, I kind of did another album like that, thinking that the band was going to get back together. We didn't. We kind of like, you know, simmered for a few years before it just, you know, kind of fizzled out. So then I thought, right, well, I need to officially launch myself as a solo artist then. You know what I mean? Because I've done that before. So there was a ton of stuff going on in 2019, you know, politically. You know, Trump was still doing his thing. Agent Orange was still very much in effect at that point, you know. Everything was kicking off over here as well. So I've always been quite politically orientated in my lyrics. So I was like, right, no. There's a ton of stuff to write about here. You know, I want to get back to the rock roots. I'm going to put the acoustic guitar down and do another rock record. And I'm going to come straight out the gates officially as a solo artist with a hard rock political album that's going to be telling it like it is, punk rock. Let's do it. You know what I mean? And I did all that. I also wrote a memoir that year, which was all about my time in the band as a struggling artist, touring, and a lot of things I just mentioned. So I had a really productive year getting ready for the big launch in 2020. 2020 was going to be the year, man. You know what I mean? I was going to come out with a memoir. I had a publisher and everything for the book. Had the album made. It was topical. And then, boom, I picked up the master disc on March the 20th, and the government announced the lockdown, which kind of kiboshed the whole thing. So the Underdogs was kind of formed, you know, to answer your question, the Underdogs was kind of formed as a lockdown band, really. I had the album because I always make all my albums myself. I play all the instruments and produce it myself. I did that album in the house. I released it on my own label and everything, but I didn't have a band. And at the time it came out, September 2020, you know, I still thought the lockdown was going to be over in a few months. So I was like, I'm not putting the brakes on this thing. I'm going to put it out. And then, you know, in a few weeks' time, we'll be able to start gigging and keep it trucking, you know. But so we formed this band in lockdown, very much on that promise, you know, that, hey guys, you know, we're going to come straight out the gates and, you know, get going. And then it just dragged on and on and on and for like another year and a half or something. So yeah, the band hasn't actually done much yet, in all honesty. You know, we formed and the album did well and the book did really well, went to number one over here, which was awesome. But no, we're looking forward now to like getting out there and actually doing what we said we were going to do all that time back, you know.
Yeah, but you know, what's 3 years?
Exactly, man. You know, who cares? In the grand scheme of things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Now you guys kind of had the same as far as political side. Y'all kind of had Trump's equivalent over there in the UK area, right?
100%, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult to know which one is more laughable. You know what I mean? I mean, I think ours, Boris Johnson, was more of a kind of a buffoon, like a blustering, blundering comedy cartoon character, whereas I think Trump was a bit more dangerous, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was rough times. And I didn't think it could get any worse. I mean, I called the album Make Anger Great Again because I was like, why aren't more people, you know, angry about this and doing something about it? And I just thought, you know, it can't get any worse. And here we are, 2, 3 years later, you know what I mean? It's like it's way worse.
Golden Salt Crystal.
Yeah, that's ooh. But that's what punk rock's about, you know, sticking it to the man, sticking it to, you know, standing up against all authority figures, which is, yes, that's what the mosh pit's about.
Yes.
And
100%.
So in that vein, what are you guys doing now as far as live shows? What are y'all working on? Are you touring yet? Are you touring now?
We're going to be touring from the summer. Like, we were ready to go. We actually had a European and a UK tour booked for March about this time last year, because obviously we came out of the lockdown late 2021, like mid 2021. So we were like, okay, cool. Let's get back on the saddle and let's do our thing. You know, the embers haven't gone out on the album cycle yet. We can still do this thing. So, but then unfortunately we had a European and UK tour booked for March last year. It was all systems go. And then my father got diagnosed with terminal cancer, and was given 6 months to live. So that would have been around, you know, the March time. So I had to cancel everything, obviously just to be with my father. So, so that was another sort of spanner in the works right there. And then obviously all of last year was dominated by looking after my dad, and then my dad's passing in May last year. So all of 2022 was kind of put on the back burner for personal reasons. So yeah, it's been a long time, man. So now it's only just now that things are starting to come in. So it's like now we're taking bookings for the summer. So we're playing the Beautiful Days Festival in England in the summer. We're headlining a festival in Newport, Wales in August as well. So the track really between now and then is just do as many local shows as we can, get the machine oiled, get fierce, so that when we start hitting those headliners and those festivals in the summer, we're going to be a monster. You know what I mean? Because I've been Absolutely. In the house for 3 years now. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. Definitely looking forward to that. Are y'all branching out as far as like the US or anything? Are y'all coming stateside?
Probably not for a while. I mean, obviously the Brexit thing, I don't know if you know much about that over there, and over here is kind of kiboshed quite a lot of stuff, because Europe is sort of like the natural stepping stone for British bands. You know, you do a little stint around the UK, but you know, it's a small little island. You know, there's only so many times you can go around the UK, you know? So, I mean, Europe is a hop away, you know what I mean? And once you're on the mainland, well, man, you know, that's the bonanza right there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the States is a bit of a bigger ask, and then it's more difficult to get to the States if you haven't got those marks on your those scores on your visa as well, you know, which obviously for us now is going to be more diminished by the Brexit thing. So the States, as a result of Brexit, has actually become a little bit harder as well for us. So I think at the moment, because it's been so long, and with, you know, the live circuit still recovering from Brexit as it is over here, and the economic climate that we're in, you know, the recession and everything, I think we're probably just going to focus on local for a bit, you know, by which I mean, you know, all of the UK, which for you guys is, you know, that's a short stint in a van ride for you guys, but for us, that's a nationwide tour. But yeah, we'd probably just do that for a bit, I think, get fierce, remind ourselves what we do again. And also, like you just said, you know, it's punk rock. So, I mean, you know, playing small venues with the message that we've got, I know that everyone on the streets right now is feeling the same way. So I think, you know, we're just going to do like super cheap or even free shows. We'll play everywhere and anywhere and just get out there and just make some noise, hammer that message, stick it to the man, you know, and see where it goes.
Dude, very killer, very killer. Now, so it's kind of out of my realm. I'm not really sure about this, so I'm going to ask you, with you guys being UK area, if you come to Canada, is that any easier?
I think it is, yeah, because it's a Commonwealth country, so we don't have to have a visa or anything like that. We went to Canada a few times, like I said, with my last band, no problem. So yeah. I think I can't actually remember off the top of my head. I think there was some kind of... yeah, there's some kind of entry form you need or something like that, just so they know who you are. But no, it's nowhere near as complicated as the States.
Gotcha. Okay.
So yeah, that could be an option, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't travel outside of the U.S. just because I'm scared and I like my home country, even as bad as we are.
Yeah, but dude, your home country is absolutely ginormous. Why would you need to leave?
Yeah, right?
It's like bigger than all of Europe put together three times over. You got everything there, man.
Exactly. Oh, man. But that is definitely a goal of mine. I'd love to get out. I'd love to come to like Ireland, Wales area, because actually my hometown was founded in the 1800s by the Wales.
Really? Cool. No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that's awesome, dude. But you got to come there, man, because this is where your roots are, dude. You're always welcome, you know, anytime.
So I can crash with you. We can do another podcast.
Anytime. Anytime, dude. We'll do the podcast. We'll drink some whiskey. We'll make some. We'll raise some hell. You know.
I love it. I love it. But yeah, I think it's really cool because we were founded as a mining town. We were one of the first cities to get a railway and all that, and that was from you guys coming over here. So we owe y'all.
Well, I think you've made it up to us since then, man, to be honest, as a country. So I think you've paid us back.
I'll pass that on, let them know.
James Kennedy, Mind Revolution.
So let's look, what do you got coming up as far as 12 months out? What are your three goals that you want to have accomplished a year from today?
Well, I'm knee deep in it all at the moment, man. Like I said, my last book, Noise Damage, did really well over here. Went to number one in three different categories. So off the back of that, I got a publishing deal to write my second book for a university press over here. So I'm kind of halfway through that. The deadline is looming. They've paid me the money. So, you know, I'm committed now. So I'm kind of doing that every day. Also working on a new record for the Underdogs because, I mean, you know, even though we haven't toured the last album yet because of, you know, all the circumstances, that I mentioned. You know, I got so much more I want to say, so much more I want to play. So there's a new record I'm currently working on as well. So that'll happen this year, I think. The beauty of being independent like I am is that I can just make a record and put it out. You know, I don't have to wait for the label to give me the green light in, you know, 18 months time or whatever, you know. So that'll probably happen later this year. There's also an acoustic EP that we did in the lockdown of all tracks off the last album, which we've recorded, which I'm going to put out really soon as well, because it kind of like it keeps the old songs, I call them old songs, just like 2 years old or whatever. It kind of keeps them a little bit alive, but with a different spin. So we're going to have put that out with some content, and then yeah, new records, start just gigging our asses off, and yeah, hopefully then, you know, smash out a new album at the end of the year, and hopefully finish this damn book, you know, which is taking some time.
Awesome, man. So you said you've got 3 books?
This is my second.
Your second, okay. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your first book, because I'm kind of interested in them. I mean, are you guys on Audible? Is there an audiobook? Do you read it yourself?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so it was really weird, man. Like, I read a lot. I'd never had any ambition to write a book. I don't know why I wrote it. If I wrote it in the lockdown like everybody else on the planet did, then that would at least make some kind of sense. But I wrote it before the lockdown, 2019. I wrote the whole thing in 2 months. I have no idea why I did it. I think the band broke up 2018, and I've been waiting for a while thinking that we were going to get back together, putting out solo music. I did a little acoustic tour in the UK and Holland by myself acoustically, just ticking over. And then when the boys left the band and it was like official, that was over. I think it was kind of like an existential point in my life. I was of a certain age and I was thinking, oh shit, you know, this is what I've spent my entire life doing. If I'm not a band guy, what am I? You know, what am I, what else do I do? What else can I do? You know? So I think I was kind of in that existential kind of headspace. And for some reason I just started writing. I wanted to sort of like capture all the memories and all the stories and all the mistakes and all the good times and bad times of my time in the band, which was about 15 years in total. And I just capture it. I think for myself, really, and to try and figure a few things out to kind of close the chapter on that life, a part of my life, you know, literally. But then I wrote the whole thing in 2 months. It went from my entire life, basically the story of my entire life. I started, you know, right at the start, you know, and worked right up until the end of 2018 with the band breaking up. And then within 2 months, I had a publishing deal, which was incredible because, you know, I had no idea I was actually writing a book. And now the thing is on the shelves of my local bookstore in Cardiff and stuff, you know. So it was a very surreal thing. I mean, it's a very honest book. I name everybody by name, every agent and label that ripped us off, you know, they get a whole chapter. I name them by name and in sordid detail. Every ex-band member that screwed us over and left us high and dry, they get a rinsing in there. Every band that kind of rinsed our rider and drunk all our beers, I slag them off in there as well. So I've got a few kick-ins waiting for me around the world at the moment, you know. And it's just a very honest book about the reality of what it's like to be in a band, because usually rock memoirs are written by the 1% of super successful stars, and it's all about, you know, hotel rooms trashing and groupies and whiskey and strippers and all that, and those books are awesome, we love that stuff, right? But it's we've read those stories, but that's not the experience, the reality of most bands. You know, most bands, you know, they're showering in the car park and they're sleeping in the transit van. They make no money, and people have got no idea the hell that we go through for the love of doing this crazy thing, you know. So I just spoke very openly and honestly about that, and I think that resonated with people. And I spoke a lot about my struggle with mental health, you know, how like it affected me struggling all that time and living on no money and sacrificing relationships, day jobs and health, you know, for this crazy addiction of rock and roll, you know. And I just wrote completely openly and honestly in there about the reality of the record business and getting screwed over and managers, and also very, very passionately and lovingly about, you know, the thrill of going off, you know, with your boys in a transit van on an adventure to go and make some noise in strange and far flung places, and the thrill of doing it and why we do it. So it's kind of a, you know, it was the whole cocktail of what life is like for 99% of bands, not the 1% that get to write memoirs. And I think that's why it resonated with people. Like I say, it was number one best-selling music book, best-selling punk book, and best-selling heavy metal book. And it was the second best-selling rock biography after Roger Daltrey. So I couldn't knock Roger Daltrey off the top spot, but I managed to knock Rob Halford off the heavy metal book's top spot. So it just did crazy. I didn't see that coming. And if I knew it was going to get published, and if I knew it was going to do so well, I wouldn't have been so honest, and I wouldn't have named everybody by name in there.
Then it may not have been as big.
Well, exactly. It may not have done so well. So I, you know, if I've got to take a few punches at some point, then, you know, whatever.
Sepsis, bleed lines.
Them out, they probably deserved it. Now we just move on.
Thank you, man.
There you go, man. Well, congratulations on that. Definitely looking forward to book two. Do you have a time frame for book two?
Oh man, publishing, as I've learned, takes ages. So the deadline for writing it is in a few months' time, and then it's not going to come out for like another year. I'm so used to like the album cycle as an independent artist, where I can just record it in my house and then just chuck it on the internet and it's out there, you know, get some CDs printed up. But book publishing takes a long time. So yeah, it's going to probably be like the end of next year, I would have thought.
Okay. Cool, man. We'll definitely keep us posted on that. We'll definitely help share it. And, you know, I got to grab a copy of it. Might get a signed copy.
Hell yeah, I'll send you a copy, man. And Noise Damage as well is on Audible. It's me reading it. So that's up there now. That's on, it's on Spotify and everything as well. There's an audiobook, and it, I think it is available in the States physically. I don't know how much stock is over there, but the ebook is available as well off Amazon and all those sorts of places. So yeah, if anybody wants to check it out, like all the musicians listening to this, you know, I'm sure there'll be so much stuff in there that they'll relate to. They'll be like, yep. Yeah,
Oh
that
yeah.
happened to us.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And it's really cool that you read your own, because I'm a huge Audible guy. I mean, I'm on the road most of the time for my job, so I've got Audible on. And the ones I enjoy the best are the ones that are actually read by the author. Being a Stephen King fan, the ones that he reads, I'm in.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, man. Yeah, well, I'm the opposite, dude. I prefer to have the physical thing in my hand. And reading my own book was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done, because I've got the accent that I've got, you know. I mumble a lot, you know? And it's like very difficult to keep the energy up, because it's quite a high energy book. And I just, man, I spent like 8 hours a day on it for like 10 days or something like that. It was so hard. I was like, man, how can I re record an album in like, you know, a few days, but I can't like just sit and read a book. But I would start out, you know, very animated and full of attitude and stuff, and then after about 3 hours I would just be like mumbling and, you know, talking low. And it's like, oh dude, you gotta keep this energy up for the whole book, you know. Quite hard.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. No, I'm the same way. One of my dreams is honestly to have an office with the bookshelves like in the wall and just filled with books.
Oh yes.
But I
What do you
never
read,
have.
man?
I'm more of a horror book guy. I'm Stephen King, Dean Koontz, those guys. I do
Nice.
love the rock audio, the rock autobiographies. I actually just finished Brian Johnson's from AC/DC.
Sweet.
Dude, it was great. It was great.
Those guys have lived the dream, man, honestly, haven't they? And the nightmare as well in many ways, you know. But like, that's why I love those, you know, the books I mentioned, you know, the one percenters. It's like they've literally lived the dream, you know, that we all dream about. And it's so awesome that, you know, we get to share that journey with them. But you know, the flip side for the rest of us is, you know, the polar opposite of that. So I'm glad that my book was a kind of like a balance, you know.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in checking that one out. I'm probably gonna pick that one up this evening, so
Oh, sweet. Thanks, man. Let us know what you think.
I definitely
There was a hell of a lot of bad language in there. Like I said, I didn't know it
fine
was
with
gonna get. Yeah, I'm sure you will. Yeah.
that.
And for people on your side of the pond as well, it's a great education in British swear words, because I think I use every possible British slang and swear word in going. So there might be a couple of spots you'd be like, my God, what does that even mean?
Pull up the Urban Dictionary. What does this
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
mean?
yeah.
Dude, that's
There's quite
awesome.
a few C bombs in there, you know. It's like, if like I said, I didn't know it was going to get published. I didn't know my nan was going to read it, but she has, you know. So it's like it's out there now, whatever.
It's there. It's there. Dude, is awesome, man. I'm super happy for you. Super proud that you've got this going. You've got the music. You know, and I'm really happy you came on the pit because,
Oh,
you know.
thanks for having us, man. Well, you know, it's like I host my own podcast as well. I haven't been doing it very long. I started about a year ago. I think I've just done my first year. I haven't even got to 50 episodes yet, but it's not as rock and roll as yours. It's a bit more boring. I have like politicians on. I've had a few rock stars on. I had the singer from Enter Shikari on just 2 weeks ago. That was pretty cool. Frank Turner, he's like a number one charting singer over here. Skindred, yeah, like a few. I've had a few rock stars on, but it's mostly like politicians and like academics and people like that. It's sort of like an educational. I'm following my own curiosity, basically, and it's pretty cool, man. So I totally, I've got a heightened appreciation for what you guys do now, because I know how hard it is, you know, like interviewing people and doing your research and putting it all together and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm like an amateur.
Can you tell I'm nervous now?
Not at all, dude. Not at all, man.
I'm always nervous before I interview you guys because I mean, y'all are like up here. I'm just a podcaster. I'm just a guy.
Hey, podcasters are the new rock stars, man, I think.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Dude, I'll check out your podcast too, because that really sounds interesting. I'm not a political guy. I never really have been. I kind of got a little bit into it, and then it's like, oh my God, this is just terrible on both sides.
It's almost better to just not know. You know what I mean? Like, especially now, man, it's like, Jesus, it's so bad. And that's why we've got rock and roll. You know, we've got horror movies. You know, we've got, and that's the beauty of entertainment, is it can take us away from it. And it's difficult sometimes, like, because I tend to write about political issues. It's like, it's, you know, not everybody wants that. You know, sometimes people go to a rock and roll show to escape that, you know? So it's a difficult one. I mean, for me, I just have to stay true to what I feel and what I want to write about. But I know that for a lot of people, it's quite alienating, especially if they don't agree with your politics as well. They might love the music and be like, oh man, it's such a shame that I hate this guy's politics, because now I can't listen to the song. So yeah, it's a difficult one. Maybe on the next record, I'll just write about strippers and whiskey or something.
There you go. There you go. Well, man, dude, I appreciate you sitting in on this. I really do. Tell everybody where they can find you on all your websites, all your platforms.
Well, the website is jameskennedystuff.com. Now, I will mention that, as you probably know, there's a TV reality star, a reality TV star in America called James Kennedy, who's on a show called Vanderpump Rules, and he's a British guy. So I always get confused with him. So if you type in James Kennedy into Google, you're going to get all of his stuff, and you're going to think I'm a douche. If you type in James Kennedy singer or musician, then you're gonna get all my stuff, and you probably still think I'm a douche, but at least you'll get the right stuff.
The right
So
douchey
you go,
stuff,
okay, and you're, I'm the guy with I'm the scowly looking guy with black hair, and he's the douchey looking guy with blonde hair, right? And he's on a reality TV show. At least I've made my own records. I got that going for myself at least. So type in James Kennedy singer or James Kennedy musician, you'll get my stuff into YouTube or Google. But on my socials, it's James Kennedy UK on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Jameskennedystuff.com is the website. Everything's on the website. There's like loads of interviews on there, links to music and the book and articles I've written and stuff like that. So that's kind of like the hub for all stuff. The podcast's on there as well. So if you want to do a deep dive on all the stuff I've put out over the years, that's probably a good place to start.
Screaming sunset, claustrophobia.
L'hai creduto davvero? We will tag that when we drop this episode. Before I let you run, though, what? I just had it. Just lost it. That's the bad part about podcasting. You think of something, you're like, wait, I want to ask that.
Dude, do you edit this thing or is it like straight out live?
Oh, no, I'm going to edit this. I'm going to edit the hell out of this.
Right, cool. I was going to say, because I edit it as well, because I do the same thing. I get halfway through, especially with the political guys. And it's like, they're talking all this stuff that is way above my head. And even though I've got like notes and stuff for like the research, so I don't sound like a douche, sometimes I just get lost and I'm thinking, shit, what was I going to say? You know, what was the question? So I have to edit it. I could never do it live.
No. No, I've had a couple of people ask me that, and they're like, "Hey, you want to do a live one?" No,
no, no, no, no,
no, no. I've been doing this for far too long, and I'm still not that good at it.
100%. Well, that makes me feel better, then, man, because I'm new to it. So, you know, if you're still doing that, then that's cool.
What do you record with? What are you? What's your program?
I do it through Zoom, like we're doing to actually do the interview. And then I just take the audio out into, I mean, I suppose I've got an advantage in that I produce records. So I've got all the music production software. So I use Cubase, which is what I make my albums on. I record it straight into that. And I have a microphone which feeds my signal in. And then I produce it up in that. So I, you know, whack a load of compression on there and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's very low rent, to be honest, man. I don't have a posh mic or anything like that. I don't have any sound treatment, you know. So, yeah. And like, there's no video. It's just,
yeah,
you know, it is what it is, you know.
Yeah. And that's one thing I've actually started. I'm trying to build my Patreon and my YouTube. So I might use this video.
Right.
As Patreon or YouTube, just something to have out there. But yeah, I'm kind of like you. I take just the audio, pull it into Audacity because I'm even cheaper. I use Audacity, which is free.
Audacity is a great program. I've got that, man. I've used that a lot for, you know, for like mastering and stuff. I guess it's a great program.
Yeah. And it's come a long way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I pull mine in, cut it, add some music, and off we go.
But, yeah, I did check out your episodes and I thought, yeah, you got music and everything. It's like, shit, man, this is like high production podcast with like music and stuff. I don't even have like that. I don't have any music or a theme tune or nothing. It's like, hey, man, here I am.
Dude, Fiverr.com, they did my intro and stuff. I had my own that I did to begin with, and I didn't like it. So I went to Fiverr and I was like, I need an intro. I need somebody to say it. I need an outro. Let's do this.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So,
okay. I might copy you there, then, man. Yeah, up my game a little bit.
There you go. I'll send you my contacts. I'll send you the ones I used.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have any advice for any bands trying to make a name for themselves?
Yeah, I do. I would say don't focus on money because there won't be any. Just keep your eye on the ball. For many years, I was doing the best stuff when I was, you know, I was touring, like I said, Europe, playing these massive open stage outdoor gigs on the beach in Italy. It was beautiful. Then we were playing Switzerland, and you know, it was living the dream, right? With my mates driving around in a transit van with our tops off in the sunshine and the European heat wave. It was bliss. And I was more depressed than I've ever been in my entire life, because all I was focused on was this manager has screwed us over. That label didn't deliver on what they promised. We haven't been paid. This sucks. And it just ruined everything for me. We never made any money. And most of the people I know have never made any money. I'm talking about people successful as well, who are like headlining Download Festival and stuff. You know, in the lockdown, some of those guys were looking to get day jobs because they're not making any money. So don't look at any of that stuff. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing, because most of it is just smoke and mirrors for social media. Just remember why you got into it in the first place was the love of rock and roll. Focus on that. Get out there, have some fun, and just do it for fun. And whether that's in front of 3 people or 300 or 3,000 or whatever, just enjoy the ride, whatever it may be. Because there's going to be so many challenges, so many obstacles, and so many people waiting to screw you over. Don't worry about what's happening in the 1% upstairs. Most of those guys had like unspeakable amounts of good luck that happened along the way. That's not to say that they're not talented and hardworking, they don't deserve what they got, but it's not going to happen to most people. So you just got to focus on the love of it, enjoy the ride, look after each other, and just go out there and do your thing. And I think, like, keep it manageable as well, because you're not going to make any money, so you can't go spending too much money. You know, gig local, you know, conquer your local scene first, and then branch outwards and build it organically like that. Don't worry about the likes and the retweets and all that. You know, I think if you just keep it real, stick to why you picked up the guitar in the first place, focus on that, I think the rest of it will be so much easier. And even the low times and the hard times, you won't feel it too much, because you'll just be enjoying the ride. And I think when you do that and you just keep on trucking, I think that's when good stuff comes.
That's good advice. I think I could probably take some of that advice myself, because I get caught up on those numbers, man.
Right.
You know, you post the show and it does like 3.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. 100%. It's so hard, because I mean, everything's changed with social media now. I mean, it used to be a powerful tool, but it's changed, man.
Yeah.
Like the algorithm now, like if you post anything with a link, like if you work really hard on a music video and then you share it on Facebook, Facebook doesn't want people going to YouTube. They want them on Facebook. So if you post a link, I guarantee you nobody ain't going to see that post. I got nearly 300,000 followers on Twitter. If I post anything with a link, nobody sees it. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd think with my amount of followers, 1% seeing that would be something, right? But nobody sees it. You know, it's all changed. And you know, it used to be that you could build up a big following on social media, and that would be good. But now, if you've got lots of followers but low engagement, even the small percentage of people that want to see your stuff won't see it, because the algorithm filters it out because it thinks no one's interested. So it's a tough game to play. That's why I think, like, you've got to do that stuff. You know, it's a powerful tool for all of us, but it's not what it was. I think in many ways we've gone a full 180. I think taking it back to the punk rock ethic, you know, handing out flyers in the street, playing your local club, you know, I think coming back down to reality, I think that is direct kind of communication is much more where things are at, certainly for bands now. Because social media has been, it's gone crazy. I mean, like, you know, Twitter's owned by Elon Musk. Look at what Facebook were doing back with Cambridge Analytica and stuff, selling people's data and stuff. It's not what it was anymore. And people buy likes, they buy comments, they buy followers. Yeah. And it looks great. And you think that everyone else's podcast is doing amazing, or everyone else's band is doing amazing. And the more people I speak to, and the more people I, you know, have off record conversations with, everybody is in the same boat. Everybody feels the same way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I started realizing that a while back, because I would look and they've got, you know, 75,000 followers, but their posts get 3 likes. It's like, come on, 100%. That's not even. And Instagram's gotten even worse. I get bot requests all day long.
Yep.
And bot followers that.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And what's the point? There's no point putting a post out to 75,000 people if 3 of them are going to see it. You know what I mean? There's no point. You know, you're better off having 5 followers and still having 3 people seeing it.
Yeah.
So, we live in a strange world, man.
We do, man. We do. Well, man, Dude, thank you so much for sitting in on this. I've enjoyed this thoroughly. I'd love to catch up with you again, maybe 6 months, see what's going
Sweet.
on, see what's happening. Maybe the weather will be
100%.
better.
Probably not. Probably not. It is Britain, but hopefully we'll be tearing it up at that point. We won't care. So yeah, I'd love to come back, man.
Cool, man. Yeah, I'll tag you when this one drops. We'll play some kick-ass music and get you some more followers that'll actually interact.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'll send me the link and I'll share it on all my socials and stuff as well.
I'll do it, man. I appreciate you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, brother. Thanks for having us, man. Good luck.
Yes, sir. Thanks, buddy. Bye.
See you soon.